I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds, episode number 201. And John?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? that is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You can check him out at his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anelio. I'm a songwriter and a composer. You can check out my music over at johnanelio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at johnanelio. And today we are happy to be joined by Andrew Schaefer. Andrew is a humorist and author whose works include How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Unnatural Disasters, Great Philosophers Who Failed at Love, and 50 Shames of Earl Grey. He's appeared as a guest on Fox News, CBS, and NPR, and has been published in Mental Floss, Maxim, and The Daily Beast. You can check out his website, andrewschaefer.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Andrew T. Schaefer. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Andrew, I've been following Andrew on Twitter for some time, and as seems to be the case with a lot of people that I've come to know on Twitter, a lot are sort of tangentially related to Chuck Wendig. I believe that I'm sure like he like retweeted something of yours or something like that, or you guys were having a conversation. I started following you back then, and you and I've been kind of Twitter friends since then. And you know, in your bio, you're kind of listed as a humorist, and you're one of the people that I really enjoy following on Twitter because you have a lot of great tweets that come out that I often retweet. The one that you did just yesterday was that you're at the age now where Weird Al puts out parodies of songs that you've never heard the original songs before, and I am right there with you, Andrew.
Yeah, I've been following you online for a while as well. I think it's like sort of like 2 degrees of Chuck Wendig, because you don't need 7 degrees with Chuck. Everybody sort of intersects through him. But yeah, the tweet yesterday about Weird Al, I really had been feeling that way for a while. I think since the White and Nerdy album, I was like, I listened to hip hop, but I guess I stopped listening to stuff in like 1994 because I was like, what is this song you're parodying? And you know, I've heard Happy, but I had not heard this song called Fancy on the new album. So it was surprising. A lot of people felt the same way, apparently.
Yeah, I kind of was in the same boat as you. I'm a little better off now because I have an 8-year-old son who he really just likes those Kidz Bop albums. So I know, like, if it's been on a Kidz Bop album, I've probably heard it. Like if there's been like the kiddie sanitized version of it, I've heard that. So I am familiar with a lot of that stuff, but not it's, like, you're right. Some of the hip hop, like any hip hop in the past 7 or 8 years, I just have no knowledge of that at all. So John, I'm right there.
John, I really enjoyed the Kidz Bop version of Gin and Juice.
Yes.
I thought that was really good.
What's really funny about those Kidz Bop albums are obviously they clean them up so that way you can hear them, but they've changed over time because now with auto-tune, they sound a lot better. But the first bunch of Kidz Bop albums, which my son goes back, like he likes to dig deep into the catalog of Kidz Bop albums, not just the most recent ones, but the first bunch of albums, a lot of them were just sort of kids, like, so they'd have someone singing it, but they would have just like a choir of kids sort of yelling like refrains and stuff. And there's some song where it's I can't even think of what it is some sort of R&B kind of one, and the guy's like, I love the way you move it like that, I love the way you move it like that, and then there's kids in the background going, oh, I love the way it's so funny because it's so not appropriate but kind of appropriate. I don't know, it's hilarious. If you want to have a good chuckle, go listen to some of the Kidz Bop.
Yeah, I also enjoyed their version of Jose Cuervo, so
it's all good stuff.
I don't know if I'll go purchase any.
Jose Cuervo, you are a friend of mine. I like to drink you with a little salt.
But anyway, so, you know, Andrew, lots to talk about, and I'm looking forward to asking a bunch of stuff about your new book and a couple of your other books,
but
what it's like
John,
to be sort of a...
John, before you do that, to use the Chuck Wendig connection, I'm extremely proud of something that Chuck said on his website that just blew me away.
Ooh, yes. Do you want to say it for you? Because I know what you're going to say.
Go for it.
I would like to burn it for you. Patrick, I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say. So Chuck, we're getting back to our 2 degrees of Chuck Wendig. Chuck wrote a blog post about going to cons and sort of con etiquette and that kind of thing, and talked about moderators of panels. And Andrew, I don't know if you've been on panels at various conventions, writing conventions and whatnot. And Chuck was saying how the success of a panel is completely based on the moderator and how the moderator handles it, and how sometimes you get moderators who just don't do much, or they're just basically there to plug their own crap, so they just kind of keep steering it back to themselves. And Chuck made Patrick quite a high compliment by saying that Patrick is the best moderator that he's ever had on a panel, which surprised me. So congrats, Patrick.
So you completely broke up.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Andrew. You completely broke up through that entire praise of me, John, which is just hilarious. But yeah, I've only ever moderated Chuck on one time before. It was the Pikes Peak Writers Conference, and it was the diversity panel that we did there. So yeah, I was absolutely thrilled to be called out on that post. That made me feel really good.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe when we go and do our Capricorn thing, maybe they can get you to moderate a couple panels too. So that would be very cool. All right, well, let's get into our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Andrew, what did you pick this week?
This week I picked the movie Snowpiercer.
Hmm.
Have either of you seen that?
No.
No. Heard a lot about it, though. Why don't you tell us about it?
I knew nothing about it going into it. Just heard that it was just some sort of sci-fi movie, and that it had given my fiance nightmares just hearing concepts behind it. And so that was enough to sort of get me to go out to the theater to it. It's in the theaters. It's only in like 100 theaters right now, but it is also on video on demand on iTunes and Amazon and stuff at the same time. But if you can see it in the theater, I would definitely recommend it. It's about a group of passengers on a train. It's a post-apocalyptic, and there's people in the back of the train that are trying to get to the front of the train. And I really don't know how much I can go into without, you know, sort of spoiling some of the surprises that are in it. But it is just a visual masterpiece, and just some of the concepts in it. There's a lot of satire, a lot of stuff that you haven't really seen in some big budget, big screen sci-fi movies since maybe like Terry Gilliam's Brazil, I think. So it's just sort of a mind-blowing film.
Now that was delayed coming out here in the state. You know, I don't know if you've gone back and sort of done a little research on it, but what was the delays? I mean, was this a film made in Asia? Do you know anything about why it was sort of held up?
Yeah. It was the film was made by a Korean director who also directed a movie called The Host that I saw a few years ago.
I saw that.
And that was sort of a cult hit in the States. Mm-hmm. And this was picked up by Harvey Weinstein for distribution in the U.S. And apparently they wanted to trim a lot of the character development and stuff out of it. It was only 2 hours, but he felt it could be a better action movie if you sort of trimmed it by about 20 minutes. And the director said, hell no, I don't want you to trim that. And so apparently they said, okay, fine, we'll release it, but only in a couple of theaters. Because it's more of an art house film, we think. But I really think, I mean, comparing this to some of the other sort of big budget sci-fi movies that have been similar sort of audiences the past couple of years, I think it would play really well with those. I mean, you had like Looper, and there's, you know, a couple of Tom Cruise movies, Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow, which have done, you know, moderately well. And I think this is sort of in that same vein. Certainly.
And can I just throw it out there that I haven't heard anything nice about the Weinstein Company in a really long time.
Apparently, you know that. I haven't heard.
This is though. We might want to work with them.
I know, but I'm just saying. I've seen a lot of shit about them. And I think it kind of started with Kevin Smith years ago. I saw some stuff, you know, and it's gone downhill from there. I've had some other people say that, like, it's gotten better since he got his son involved or something, and I don't know. But anyway, go on, John.
No, well, that movie is interesting because I remember hearing about it. Like, I feel like it was like a year ago I was already hearing stories about it getting delayed and all that. And now that it's out and the reviews have come out, like, the reviews have been, I don't know, from any review I've seen, it's been very, very positive. So it seems... You know, it's kind of foolish that it wasn't put out there to more theaters because it probably would be doing better if more people had access to it.
Well, but there's tons of buzz about it in our community too. So
yeah, that's true. I forget the community that we're in. This is who it's aimed at. You know, so but the cool, very good. Patrick, what's your pick this week?
Going completely different. I saw a post on the Geek Dad blog, and it was called The Coolest Cooler. And I clicked on it and was looking, and it really is the coolest cooler. It's a Kickstarter that this guy is trying to get going. But essentially, it is an ice chest for the 21st century. It's an ice chest, and it's been completely redesigned. It's, you know, he there's a video where he talks about how the ice chest has not changed in design since he was a little kid, and he's kind of right. You know, it's always the big plastic thing. Sometimes they've got some crappy wheels on it. You know, essentially you lift the lid, you dump your shit in there, you pour ice over it, and you're done. This is designed. It has Bluetooth. It has a speaker system that's waterproof, so you can have your phone and you connect your phone to the Bluetooth speaker and blast music for everybody. It has a blender built in, so you can take your ice out and mix all your stuff in there and do your mixed drinks and your margaritas and whatever else you're gonna do. It's right there. It has a charger for your devices, so you can charge your phone or whatever when you're out there. It keeps the ice separate from the food, but everything stays cold, so you don't get soggy, wet, soaked stuff. You know, you it's all separate, and it's got the straps so that, you know, have you ever tried to like use one of the ones where you pull the handle and you're pulling it and you stack all your shit on top and then you're kind of walking and everything starts falling off? So it's got the straps where you can strap stuff on the lid. It's got all this really cool stuff, the blender, the speakers, it's got lights in it so that at night you don't have to be fishing around looking for stuff. It's got LED lights all around the side or all around the top. So you just turn them on and boom, you can see what's in there. And it's just this really, really cool redesign. And the Geek Dads were talking about it on their blog, and it's a Kickstarter. So that's my pick this week. It's called The Coolest Cooler. Go to Geek Dads blog and you'll see it.
Cool. That may be the nerdiest thing
I think absolutely
ever picked. That's yes. Great though. Now I'm going to go another direction, and Patrick, get ready to make fun of me. So, and Andrew, chime in. So, as I love all sorts of music, but I always talk about my initial love of hair metal when I was a teenager, and I've sort of been rekindling that love as of late, and I've actually gotten into all of these, because funny enough, in Europe and Asia and other parts of the world, a lot of this music is still not just hair metal, but sort of more sort of that sort of corporate rock is still doing pretty well if you go over there. So this magazine... which is it says AOR on it, and it says Classic Rock Presents. Classic Rock is a magazine you can usually pick up, but AOR, if you're not familiar, AOR stands for Album Oriented Rock. So in like the late 70s, early 80s, like think Journey, and as you can see, that's Journey on the cover, a picture like 1977 Journey on the cover, Boston, that kind of stuff. So that was considered album-oriented rock. And like I said, this stuff still does well in Europe. So this is a magazine that is from the UK. So the only bad thing about this magazine, this particular one is quarterly, and it's an import magazine. So you got to blow like $15 to like get a magazine like this. But if you like this kind of music, and I know some people that listen to the podcast maybe like three or four people really like the kind of music that I like. So it's great because it's like lots of interviews and stuff, but they were like a lot of really cool album reviews. And I found like if you have Spotify and you have this and you like this music, you'll find tons of cool bands to check out that put out albums this year. So I love it. And what I love about it is hair metal was not as disdained in Europe as it was here. Once grunge came along and destroyed all of that, you know, it still kind of had itself going. Because in one of the reviews, I appreciated that this one British writer made a comparison as an album as sounding a little bit like Look What the Cat Dragged Out era Poison. and there was no sarcasm about it. It wasn't like Poison is never mentioned in an album review in any sort of positive way. So I just sort of really, not that I even really like Poison that much, but I really laughed out loud when I read that because you wouldn't see stuff like this. So if you like this kind of thing, it's classic rock is like the sort of big magazine. AOR is what they do, these like sort of splinter quarterly ones. So there's AOR and there's like prog rock and there's all. So it's really cool. You'll see these in Barnes and Noble. That's where I picked it up. But that's my pick this week.
So John, my question about Journey is that they have a very popular song, Don't Stop Believing. Right?
Of course.
Everybody knows it. Now, if you actually listen to Steve Perry singing that song, right? It sounds like he starts off with just a small town girl living in a lonely world. It sounds like he says he took the midnight train going anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's she, though. I mean,
it is, sure. But it sounds like he's saying he.
Yeah, well, you know, you can read into that whatever you want.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know, John. It's very weird.
Well, anyway. Okay,
Sherry. Oh, Sherry. I just don't know.
So Andrew, you know, like I said, I've enjoyed following you on Twitter, and you know, you have a lot of books up, but your new one is called How to Survive a Sharknado and other unnatural disasters. Now, when I looked on your website and saw this, I also saw that you had the link to like when to watch Sharknado. So I have to ask how this book came about. And is it sort of sanctioned through the Sci-Fi Network? Like, how did this all come into being?
And Andrew, I just want to throw in there that we welcome you here with open arms. After all these years, you know, when you see the wheel in the sky turning, it's just nice to see a book like this that is faithfully supportive of the movie. I mean, any way you want it is fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I would find your book entertaining no matter what. So you know, if not, we can go our separate ways, but it's totally up to you. So
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. The story behind it was, it's actually not that interesting of a story. I can certainly tell it though. It's a true story. The Sci-Fi Channel and Random House decided to put out a book together. And so this is sanctioned through both the Sci-Fi Channel and then it's put out by Random House. And they were looking for a writer for it. And I heard about this through my agent, who has represented my past couple of books. And she said, "Are you interested in Sharknado? Is that something you'd be interested in? Because they're looking for a humor writer for the book." And I said, "Of course I'm interested in this." When the movie Sharknado came out, I made a tweet. I said, "I hope my agent is able to secure me the rights to do a novelization of this." And so, flash forward 3 months later. And that's pretty much what happened. So I submitted a sample, and there were probably some other writers that submitted samples for this. And the Sci-Fi executives, you know, read through those, and they liked the direction I took with it, which was it's a parody of a survival guide, but it's not a parody of the movie. So it does take what's in the movie very seriously and what's in Sharknado and then what's in a lot of the other sci-fi movies as well that are in the book, like Sharktopus, Dino Shark, Ghost Shark.
Did you touch on Mansquito?
I did not touch on Mansquito. We did not have the rights for that one, I don't believe. So
the other authors, though, who's crying now, right? I mean, come on. you pitched it.
No, so it was pretty exciting to actually get something that I'd sort of was sort of a dream job, and because you know I'd already seen a lot of these films that that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel, so it was just a lot of fun to work on, and again, you know, not much of a story there, but that's what happened.
Now, if I can ask a serious question, who's your agent?
My agent is Brandy Bowles. She's awesome. With the Foundry Literary and Media. And she mostly represents nonfiction authors, though. So I started off writing nonfiction books for her and then have sort of been transitioning into more fiction. Just because it requires less research, I thought. That was until I got to the Sharknado book. And I had to watch, I had to watch 30 sci-fi movies multiple times to try to get the characters and the and everything that happens down. So,
well, that is a good agent because she got you the gig that you wanted. So send her my love.
Yes.
Well, I imagine you have a pretty nice DVD collection. If you had to watch 30 of those sci-fi movies, then did they just send them all out to you? How'd that work?
They did. It was pretty awesome, actually. I mean, if you're a movie buff at all, to get boxes like every day for like a couple of weeks of DVDs, just I had no idea what was coming the next day. Like one day it would be Ghost Shark, and then it'd be Arachnoquake. I was like, "That's Arachnoquake." And you pop it in and watch it, and go, "That is Arachnoquake." Spiders coming out of the ground following an earthquake.
Yeah, over on SF Signals podcast, we talk a lot about Princess of Mars with Tracy Lords and Antonio Sabato Jr. Yeah.
Oh, he's the king, Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yeah.
Tracy Lords released a great techno album a few years ago.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Well, how I know the name. I don't know how
you know the name. Just... Well, Tracy Lords, the big techno artist, Tracy Lords, you know her.
Of course.
She did some sci-fi stuff in like the late 90s. Not Sci-Fi Channel. She was on some TV show for like a little while. I can't remember what it was.
You know, Patrick, I'm such a music nerd. I just wrote down a note that says Tracy Lords techno music because I'm totally going to go on Spotify and see if that album's there. Cause like, I'm just like, well, I got to hear what that sounds like. But you know, Andrew, you were talking about Chuck and I read the, you know, I think it was from a book that you put out a couple years ago. He did an interview with you on his blog. And one of the questions that he asked, which I would like to talk about here, cause you are talking about how what you write, the Sharknado book included, some of what you write would be considered parody or satire. And, you know, you talk about in that article about how in order to write good parody, you have to have some level of respect or interest for the underlying material. And so it sounds like there, in regards to Sharknado, and these sort of sci-fi, I don't know if we'd call them B-movies or how they're sort of described, it seems like you do have some love for that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I said that quote in relation to 50 Shades of Grey when I did my 50 Shades parody, which I had an underlying love for the genre of erotic romance. The same thing here, where I think that if they got somebody to write, you know, to write this book that was just sort of making fun of Sharknado, and again, I think you can. It's pretty easy to make fun of Sharknado. I just saw the riff tracks.
Yes, it's coming. Live, yes,
which was extremely funny, and but also, you know, but the thing is, those guys love, you know, they love science fiction movies. So I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean you love the underlying material, but you love the, you know, you love the genre that you're parodying or something. And this, again, was something that I was, you know, I was already interested in Sharknado and Sharktopus. Some of these movies, again, you can make fun of them, but with the budgets they're working with, And the constraints, they're some of them are actually quite creative and interesting.
It's kind of like it's almost like going back to the monster movies of the 50s, the mm-hmm. B movies that they did.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's no surprise that you know, Roger Corman has produced a number of these. He's producing the Sharktopus movies, the upcoming Sharktopus versus Terracuda, which is the half pterodactyl, half barracuda film. So Roger Corman produced or directed a lot of those movies in the 50s as well. It's just that the market has moved from the theater, and then it dried up for a few years, and now it's sort of come back thanks to video on demand and places like Sci-Fi.
Well, and of course Michael Bay films. So now I'm curious, if did they also have you watch Jersey Shore Shark Attack?
No, I did not. I didn't see that one, unfortunately.
Now that one hits a little too close to home for John. So.
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey, so it's about to. But you know, the point that I wanted to make with all of that stuff is, you know, I think there's room for everything. You know, I just talked about hair metal. Like, the thing is, like, I love all. I wouldn't say it, because I kind of hate when people say, like, I love all kinds of music. It's like, but especially if you're a musician, you tend to, if you have an open mind, you tend to soak in a lot of stuff. So, like, I like a lot of, like, really super serious folk music and super serious classical music and all sorts of stuff like that, and crazy avant-garde stuff and King Crimson and progressive rock. But
Filk.
Like, what's that?
Filk?
Yeah, that's fine, too. And
I know you love the lyrics of Train.
I like the music of Train. I don't care for the lyrics.
That's what I said. I know you love the lyrics.
But the thing is, like, but I'll still enjoy listening to Whitesnake and Winger too. And I think the point is that you can look at that with film or with literature or what have you. You know, it's kind of like food. Like, you don't necessarily want to have filet mignon or sushi for every meal. Like, sometimes you want a hamburger. Sometimes you want. I heard on a podcast I was listening to the other day, they were interviewing the guys from Everclear. They had a couple hits in the 90s, and they were saying how, like, they're all pretty health conscious now, but they had this gig where backstage they had sandwiches, but the sandwiches were like white bread, like Wonder Bread, like super processed, like white bread, which you don't really find too much anymore, and just like, you know, like the fake cheese, like the, you know, like the, and he said it was delicious, just like white bread with like processed cheese. And it was like, I wouldn't eat that every day, but I loved it while I ate it. And that's kind of what, you know, you can look at other forms of art that way. Like, sometimes, like, that's what you want. You want Sharknado, you want Arachnaquake, or was that what it was called?
Arachnaquake.
Yeah. Arachna, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I can start off the podcast by recommending Snowpiercer, which is just going to blow your mind, you know, but, Sharknado is not going to probably blow your mind. It's going to entertain you for a few hours, and it's a very different kind of entertainment. And I think they're both valid in my mind. Do we want every single movie, you know, to be shot on a Sharknado budget or something, you know? No, I mean, they're, you know, but I think there's, you know, the world of entertainment is big, and there's enough room for different kinds of movies out there, and to like some of these things, not ironically. You know, you can say you love hair metal, and it sounds like you legitimately love hair metal, and it's not irony. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where people get sort of up on, you know, get angry with, like, you hipsters or something, mm-hmm. because they think that there's this whole class of people out there who are drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon because they don't enjoy the taste, just they enjoy, you know, being someone who likes Pabst Blue Ribbon. And so I don't know. I think that, you know, there's, again, it's just different stuff, different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my wife last night was asking, like, oh, who are you guys interviewing tomorrow? And I had mentioned that we were interviewing you, and she's like, well, what did he write? And I was like, he has this Sharknado book. She's like, was that sci-fi? My wife's not into any of this stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I was explaining to her, and I'm like, and the lead is Ian Ziering. She's like, that's perfect. And I'm like, and his wife in the movie is Tara Reid. And I'm like, she's like, that's even more perfect. So like, you know, she got it. And I was explaining how I'd heard an interview with the director of that movie about a year ago when it came out, and how he really embraced it, like really kind of took it for what it was and tried to play the strengths, and that there is humor in it as well. And I think maybe that's why, because of that director, he seemed to get it and get how to kind of market it and publicize it too. Maybe that's why Sharknado kind of rose above some of the other ones.
I mean, yeah, it was interesting because they've put out, you know, well over 200, I don't know, maybe 300 films but yeah, they've put out quite a few over the past 10 or 15 years, and none of them really broke through to the mainstream. I mean, Sharktopus kind of did. People were sort of posting pictures of that online and saying, isn't this ridiculous? But it didn't hit, you know, sort of the zeitgeist until Sharknado, for whatever reason. But there are a lot of people that have, you know, have been watching these films the entire time and obviously enjoying them, because that's why they keep making them.
Mm. Now, you know, as we start to wind down here, Andrew, so this is the book that's out there now. It just got released. What else do you have coming up in terms of books and other projects? I know you have a lot that goes on rather than just writing books. You have lots of other sort of online things and TV and that kind of stuff. So what are you working on that's coming out?
Nothing. I've been working recently on some screenplays, actually. Trying to sort of branch out from books for maybe a little while. But I don't really have anything solid lined up next.
All right. Well, so you got your screenplays coming, but so people, if our listeners are interested, they can just so the book is out now. You can get it in bookstores and online. And let me ask you this, because we had other authors on today that were talking about their audiobooks. Will there be an audiobook of the Sharknado book?
There is an audiobook,
oh,
yes.
Cool.
And it actually has four really fantastic professional audiobook narrators. One guy that does like Tom Clancy books or something. I mean, like, they're very serious. And I think that's sort of what the book needed. It didn't need someone who was going to, a comedian to narrate it. It needed someone who's going to take the material very seriously. And so, again, I think that's probably what will surprise people the most if they pick the book up, is that actually a lot of the survival tips that are in it are actually quite serious. I mean, there are plenty of one-liners and, funny things to do with a tourniquet or whatever. But most of the stuff in there is actually taken quite seriously.
Very good, very good. So yeah, so again, the name of the new book is Sharknado, How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Unnatural Disasters. Andrew's website is andrewschafer.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Andrew T. Schafer. Anything else to plug before we wrap it up, Andrew?
Go see Snowpiercer.
All right, very good. I love that. He plugged somebody else's stuff. Great, awesome. For me this week, you can check out my music over at johnanilio.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. And Patrick, what do you have to tell people about this week?
Well, there's lots of stuff. I wanted to reiterate that you and I have been invited to be media guests of honor at Capricorn in February. And mm-hmm. that is in, was it Wheeling, Illinois, I believe is where they said
it. Sure.
So it's near Chicago, okay. at the Reston. And that'll be a couple days around Valentine's Day. And mm-hmm. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff there. They've asked John to do 12 different concerts, all in the scope of 1 hour. They want Scrivener. They want all kinds of different things. So hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun there. I've been doing stuff over at Kirkus as usual. So if you're into graphic novels or you want to learn about graphic novels, you should go to Kirkus or just search on Google, you know, Kirkus Reviews and ATFMB, all things from my brain, and my stuff will pop up. SF Signal, we recently did a space opera piece with James Gates, and she herded the cats for me and got a bunch of authors to come on, and we talked about space opera as far as Hollywood is concerned, which is what I thought this might be a kind of a good episode to talk about that, because we talked about, you know, Battlestar Galactica. We talked about the new show that's coming to the channel formerly known as Sci-Fi soon, that is the space opera. And it's just kind of an interesting show, so go check that out. I believe that was like 252 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Daniel Abraham's on that episode.
Daniel
right?
Abraham is on that, yep. Cool. He once again gave me a slight amount of shit over my Star Wars canon stuff, but that's okay. And I'm trying to blog more on HFMB, so I recently took a trip up to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. And if you're unfamiliar with the Stanley, it was the inspiration for Stephen King's The Shining. So they have lots of stuff there. It's supposed to be haunted. They actually do have a resident psychic on site. And we went up on probably the worst weekend we could have ever gone to the Stanley. They had a carnival going.
Mm. Great.
Now, some people may have liked it because they actually had a whiskey tasting booth.
Mm.
You just taste whiskey. Anyway, so we had brunch there. We went up to Trail Ridge Road. We went all across. I took a ton of pictures. So on atfmb.com, I've reinstated Photo Fridays. Mm. And you're going to be seeing lots of pictures from Rocky Mountain National Park and Trail Ridge Road over the next few weeks or months or whatever. So that's out there. And that's pretty much it for now, John. I'm still working like a dog and not doing too much on social media. But when I do, it's gold. It's gold,
it
Jerry.
Is.
It's cool.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, very good. ATFMB.com. I'm on Twitter at ATFMB. Everybody else, have a great week. Andrew, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And everybody, we'll see you next time.
Gunsmoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.